Good afternoon, and welcome to another edition of Tag Talks, where we talk about cool topics, all tied to the Adjutant General Directorate here at Human Resources Command. I'm Brigadier General Greg Johnson, Tag 63, and today we're going to continue a theme of innovative topics and great guest appearances, and we're going to talk a little bit with Dr. Karen Freeburg, who is a professor and an author, a dog enthusiast, I'm told, and you know, maybe most interestingly, an all-American in track and field in her maybe past life. She's here to talk a little bit about social media and what she's doing up at the University of Louisville. So with that being said, Karen, you know, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, sir. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. We've done a couple of podcasts here today with the team and had a couple of engagements on a various, you know, topics, but it's been a pretty good Friday. How about you?
Oh, it's been fantastic. Yes, we are just finishing almost the end of the spring term. So last week is the last full course week for the spring semester. Then it's all about finals for the students, but it's also going to be an exciting time in Louisville with that little horse race that happens every first Saturday in May. It's going to be a big one, so lots of excitement around the city for that.
Yeah, I think I can say what that is. That's the Kentucky Derby for those that are out there. Usually a big event, right, for Louisville and the region.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah. I didn't realize, I'm not originally from Louisville, Kentucky. I grew up in California, but I, of course, knew all about the Kentucky Derby growing up because my family and I, we love horses. But I didn't realize until moving here that there were so many other races, but then there's a whole festival called the Kentucky Derby Festival that had like 70 plus events. So basically, I've been told by my friends here in town, the city parties for about a month and a half or 2 minutes around the track.
It's a good excuse, right? It's a good excuse.
It is. Yeah,
I was going to say this place just gets consumed with it. I've flown in during Derby Week, and you know, there's, I don't know, what seems like hundreds of private aircraft parked out at the Louisville Airport, and then you know, lots of hat boxes for the ladies and, you know, well-dressed men walking around. I mean, it just becomes its own thing.
Absolutely. And there's that little thing called bourbon, too, that is often consumed quite heavily during that period of time.
It definitely comes to play during Derby Week. That's for sure.
Absolutely.
So you're up at Louisville and you're a professor, but you're also, you know, tied to a I call it a social media think tank. It's probably more than that, but it's called the Bird's Nest. Maybe talk a little bit about that, Karen.
Absolutely, sir. So I definitely try to keep myself busy as a professor. I do research, I teach, I'm actively participating in service, various committees, various projects in the community, but I also am a believer staying really true and connected with the industry because I feel that social media and strategic communications, which are the two areas that I really focus a lot of my teaching and research and consulting in, is very much an applied field. So
yeah.
I need to be connected to what's happening in the industry, but so do my students, because ultimately we want to empower students to be as marketable as possible when they enter the workplace. And that means they need to have various experiences, they need to know certain tools, they need to be able to tell future employers, hey, I was able to do XYZ campaign for this project, and here's the results that we were able to do. And so the Bird's Nest really was kind of built upon that principle. I've always wanted to have a student agency, and I basically, with all of my previous programs, Florida, Southern Cal, and the University of Tennessee, when I finished my PhD, they all had student agencies or student groups that worked with real clients. And so when I came to the University of Louisville back in 2011, that was my first surprise, was the fact that we did not have a student agency. And my family comes from a long line of Scandinavians, so we're a little stubborn but persistent. So I kept on bugging my chair every year saying, I think it would be really good for us to have this student agency. And then it was like, when are we going to have this student agency? Then finally, right before COVID, we got the green light, you know, basically to start the conversations.
Yeah,
and so
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's been great. Yeah, so we officially launched in fall of 2022 with 4 students, and it really was about being a student-run agency. The students, in essence, I said, well, if it's going to be a student-run agency, yes, I'm a faculty member, I'm going to be a director, and kind of making sure that you all do things that you need to do professionally and ethically and all that good stuff, and mentor and be a coach, in essence, in strategic communications. But it really should be driven by students. And so they were the ones who came up with the name, the logo, the branding, and we have grown to now we're at 32 students. There's several who will be graduating in a few weeks, but we've also have been interviewing 22 new students. So we have clients from, of course, Churchill Downs in the Kentucky Derby, GE Appliances, National Parkinson's Institute, and a few others. It's been really a wonderful resource for the students here at the University of Louisville, but also the community where they are able to have the potential to hire talent in these areas.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds like a rocket ship to a certain extent. I mean, coming from 4 right after COVID to 30 plus and then lots of applications. I mean, wow, that's a bit of a ride, Karen.
Yeah, it's been fun. It's been a lot of work. That's why I should have in my bio said I'm a coffee addict.
Yeah.
Because I feel coffee is my major food group, because that kind of has powered me over the last few years. But it's worth it, sir. There's nothing I feel more rewarding than seeing, you know, the impact that you can have as a professor with the future generation of professionals and just the mentorship and the coaching. And there are times, though, I know during the semester where as a coach in any kind of athletic event, there's certain exercises, certain drills that you don't want to do. And
sure,
your job as a coach to be able to say, yes, this is going to be good for you. You're going to like me when, you know, you're on the podium with that medal around your neck with that All-American flag. But at this time, you're not going to be happy. So there's times during the semester, both in my classes and with the Bird's Nest, where I have to kind of push the students a little bit, saying, yes, I'm not your favorite person right now, but that's okay. Like, when you get your job, when you get these accolades, when you get the success in the workplace, I will be on the sidelines cheering you on as your cheerleader.
Yeah.
And happy for you.
Yeah. And that's, you know, that's like, it's like that in every field, right? You know, you got to put in some hard work and do the reps and things that maybe are not so exciting, you know, before you can really be great.
Right. It's all about doing a little bit every day, sir.
Yeah, we definitely have that in the Army. You know, that's why we go to the field so much and we train so much, because, you know, when you go to the real thing, you know, you want to be great at what you're supposed to be doing.
100%.
So, you know, I also have a list of books, right, or textbooks that you've written.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no shocker, right? They're kind of on social media and strategic communications.
Yes.
You know, I don't know, maybe talk a little bit about, you know, those books that you've put together, Karen.
Absolutely. So if you would have asked me, sir, 10, 15 years ago, if I'd be a textbook author, I would be telling you absolutely not. Like, I was the student in undergrad that would complain about writing a 5-page paper, which is kind of ironic now that my students complain about writing 5-page papers. I'm like, it's fine. But my parents both have connections to academia. My dad is retired, but he had extensive experience in marketing on the food company side, like Mars, Nestle. And then my mom, who I call the OG Dr. Freeberg, she is still a professor in psychology and neuroscience at Cal Poly SLO. But she also writes textbooks in the area. So I always kind of grew up with the understanding of academia, but also textbook writing. And when I became interested in social media and really kind of having that as one of my core areas of research, but then also teaching, I was looking around to see what books were out there. And sir, I felt like Goldilocks when I was looking at some of these books, because I thought there were some books that were so focused on theory that,
yeah,
I thought my students would be like, okay, where's the practical aspects? And there would be other books that would be so like driven to being practical, but not really sharing exactly how you go about it, doing certain things. They would talk about a strategic plan, but then I'd be like, okay, what are the components of the strategic plan? You don't,
yeah,
explain that. So I had one too many complaints at the dinner table when I was home for the holidays with my family. about how I was very unhappy about the book selection there were out there in social media. And so finally my parents were like, Karen, just write the book then.
Just,
and I'm like,
Just do it.
I'm like, yeah, it's just a big paper, no big deal. So the social media book, the textbook that I had was the first to come out in 2018. And working with my publisher, Sage, who's been fantastic, they were just like, we've never seen this kind of response. Because I've also done some pedagogy research. And so I've been, yeah. I have a community for social media professors that I manage on Facebook, which is about like, it's close to 2000, like a little over 2,300 professors worldwide. So I've kind of built myself as kind of a person for a resource. And so when I had this book out, it just kind of blew up, you know, everyone was very excited about it. And then the public relations book, which is where all my degrees are from, came up. And so I wrote that book. And so both have had various editions. And so I will be starting the third edition shortly of the social media book. So it's a lot of fun. And so when my students come to me about papers and writing them, I'm like, well, hold my coffee. I have to write a 30, 40, 50 page chapter right now, yeah, on the subject. But it's very rewarding, sir. And the textbooks have been very helpful in terms of not only being used in classes, but then I've also had individuals in the field who have used them as well to help out with new hires, but also their internship programs, which has been really cool to see.
Yeah, I mean, it came along at a time that probably, right to your point, you know, there was something really needed, right, to help guide, you know, this emerging field.
Yes, well, it was also too, sir, like about guiding this, you know, the principles and practices of the field, but also doing it in a way that was very approachable.
Yeah,
and I, when reading some of these other textbooks, and I remember some textbooks that I had even in school, sir. I remember thinking, do I need a dictionary and a thesaurus next to me to figure out what this author is saying?
Yeah,
because,
totally.
I mean, it just was very hard from a student. Like, they were writing for the professor, but not the student. And so I kind of flipped that on its head when I came to my textbooks. I thought, okay, yes, I'm going to be writing for the professor, but at the end of the day, I want to make sure that the students are able to comprehend the key concepts, because if the students are able to grasp the concepts and principles, then they will be successful in their assignments and projects, but then also provide good valuations for their professors, and then also be very successful in achieving their goals out in their internships and future positions.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely something to simple language and, you know, trying to get your message across that then, you know, resonates, which kind of, you know, for me, I mean, we actually talk a lot about, hey, how do we actually build the content on social media that can be consumed. So mm-hmm. Here you are, kind of the same approach, writing a textbook as we're trying to implement as we think through, hey, what do we do on social media in the Adjutant General's directorate?
100%. And you all are doing fantastic work, sir. It's been very great to be able to follow what you've been doing on LinkedIn and Facebook and your other channels. And I feel that you really do grasp, you know, the key messages that you do it, but you present it in a very visual and branded way that is memorable and people are able to recall it. So that's my overall grade for your social media work is an A++.
Okay, I'll take that. That's pretty good. Yeah, we got, well, yeah. I mean, you know, I mean, we've hired a few alums from your program, but yeah, the team here I think is really dedicated and really invested in, you know, doing a good job, but then also learning as we kind of go and using data to kind of shape how we analyze ourselves and then, right, do it again and try again and keep going.
Absolutely.
So, you know, you're an author and you have a lot of interactions with different companies with the bird's nest. You know, mm-hmm. I guess I'm kind of interested in where you think social media is heading.
Oh boy, the tough question. I wish I had a crystal ball to kind of see where social media was going, but the thing that I love about the field is it's constantly changing and evolving, but at the same time, it's constantly changing and evolving, so that means I need to update my books and lectures and insights for my students, including those in this bird's nest. I do feel that social media, at the end of the day, sir, tools will change, but human behavior will not.
Mm-hmm.
I think I think there's always going to be a need for community, dialogue, and building relationships to pass along information, to be able to create impact. So I feel that the tools are going to absolutely change, but how and why we use these tools won't. But with that being said, I do feel that we are kind of seeing a shift already, kind of like from public-facing social media platforms where people are posting for everyone to see on their pages, whether it's Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook, et cetera, but then really kind of having these closed communities. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing a rise, obviously, with Substack. I mean, that's kind of not really social media, but it's kind of like digital. It's kind of adjacent to what you're doing. But a lot of people are going to newsletters and Substack, particularly because they don't want to be they don't want to be manipulated by the algorithms.
Yeah.
Because a lot more people are very aware about what they see, how, why, and how people are seeing this, and what kind of data is being collected. So I do feel that you're going to be seeing what we call dark social a little bit, kind of more private groups, more about focusing on how do we build back the social aspect of social media. And I think that the public-facing social media platforms are still going to be apparent, because obviously you're going to need to be able to pass information out publicly. But I feel that there's going to be a lot of emphasis being told related to dark social. But I also feel, too, that there's going to be some platforms that will have kind of like their heyday. And one platform in particular that I think has really kind of gotten a lot of good publicity over the last couple of years, but especially right now, is Pinterest.
Yeah.
And people, when my students are like, Pinterest, like I go there for recipes, I go there for design inspirations. But then my question to them is, well, when was the last time you heard of Pinterest getting into a crisis from a social media platform perspective? And my students are like, never. And I'm like, exactly. Yeah. So they're all about positivity. I am a little biased because their CEO is a University of Louisville graduate. So I don't know if that has any influence on how great they're doing. But I think that a lot more people are kind of gravitated. They want positivity. They want a place where they can come and they're not inundated with, you know, ads, or they're not inundated with information that they're like, okay, I know that you got my information somewhere. So you're pushing content to me that I didn't really necessarily want. So I guess the end of it is like, there's rise of dark social. There's going to be some places that people will jump around, and obviously wherever people jump around, whether it's Pinterest or other platforms, that will come about. Marketers will always follow them. But I also think at the end of the day, all of these platforms are going to change and evolve and grow. So that's why we have to be kind of students of the field.
Yeah.
So whenever I tell my students, even the business who are graduating, I'm like, yes, you're graduating from college, but that does not mean that learning does not stop.
Yeah.
So, but at the end of the day, human behavior doesn't change.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, and this is really, you know, I don't know if profession's the right term, but I mean, it is a real thing. And, you know, if you don't study it, if you don't, you know, continue to improve your skills, then you kind of don't stay relevant.
Right.
So I think it's interesting the way that you laid that out. I know, you know, for our sites at the Adjutant General, I mean, we're really trying to be positive all the time. I mean, to your point, we're really trying to, you know, educate and highlight some things that we're doing, but then stay on the positive side. Even though, right, you know, there's always some comments and things that we have to work through and deal with.
Right.
You're big on, you know, crisis action, right?
Mm-hmm.
You help your students understand how to deal with that. I don't know. Maybe talk a little bit about what's the things you guys focus on when you're teaching those types of those topics.
Absolutely. Well, I'm glad that you brought that up, because that's actually one of the areas that a lot of students have a lot of interest in, just because that is a skill that sometimes is not always highlighted in job descriptions, but if they're able to demonstrate that they can not only handle situations in good times, but also in challenging ones, that kind of tests their, you know, overall ability to be a comprehensive and marketable professional in the field. So the thing that I basically emphasize with the students, especially when it comes to social media, specifically related to crisis communications, is that if they've seen it all, just wait. There's always something interesting or a crisis that's popped up that you have to ask yourself, well, did I have this on my bingo card for the year? No, I didn't. So how do we handle this? But it's evolving. Like with every platform, with every change, there's positive events that could happen, but also there's absolutely scary and terrifying consequences. So yeah. One of the things that I've also been really emphasizing this year with the students is particularly not only with social media, with comments, with shares, you know, cyberbullying, I mean, kind of the fundamental issues that you see going across in social, but I always focus now on kind of like what's emerging. And so the whole topic on deepfakes and AI, the scams, and how to identify them, how to not make sure that your brand is not compromised, and how does that relate to what information you're willing to share. And so I don't try to scare the students, mm-hmm. you know, in terms of these possibilities. Yeah. But I said, you need to be aware. If you're aware, then you know what actions to take and what steps that you can do, not only for yourself, but also potentially with clients. So when we've had these conversations with various clients with the Bird's Nest, especially around AI, they just kind of like come in with deers in the headlight, like, okay, this is heavy, but what can we do? So it's about, you know, figuring out like the action steps that you can take. So with the students, I always try to encourage them to read and follow certain professionals who are skilled in social media and crisis, but then also really kind of be kind of an expert, you know, and really soak up as much information as possible about what are the growing issues related to misinformation, AI, scams, content creation, what are some people doing that's working, what are some people that's not working, what are the major issues, and how can we go forward as a community to be better?
I think that's good advice. Mm-hmm. So as I think about, you know, hey, so you're knee deep in thinking and executing all things social media, so maybe for someone who's wanting to get into this profession, this business, you know, what would you recommend, Karen, to, you know, as starters for them as they think about it?
Yeah, absolutely. So my recommendation when you first get started is really, first off, making sure that you do have kind of a presence on all of the major platforms that you're going to be active in. And it doesn't mean that you have to be on them 24/7, but you just want to have your username attached to it so that you have the ability to control your brand. So I think that's kind of the first step. The second one is, I'm a big believer of education and training. There's so many certifications and free lessons and videos out there on social media. I would recommend going to HubSpot Academy. HubSpot is a great CRM tool. But they have this whole academy where they have all types of certifications available, and these are free lessons. And as a professor, I like free just because that's nice to have, you know, incorporating your classes. But they have a great social media marketing certificate program, and it's, you know, at your own pace. You basically go and watch these videos. It's interactive, so they have an initial one that they do in advance. I would say that will give you a clear foundation in terms of how to use social media, how to get involved in the field in the different areas. And then really kind of looking at people to follow. Like one person that I recommend heavily is Matt Navarra, who he has a community called the Social Geek Out. And he used to be like the main person who ran social for the BBC News. But yeah. Every kind of news that breaks, you know, in social media, he's right there on it. And there's a few others. And again, if anyone on the listening for the podcast would be interested, I'd be happy to pass along like some resources too. But those would be kind of like my go-tos initially, and then just kind of continue being a student of the field, soak up as much knowledge as possible, but then also be a participant on the platforms that connect with people too.
Yeah, no, that's great. Who's doing the best content right now? From you know, besides your students, right? You know, besides those that are, you know, tied to the Bird's Nest.
Oh gosh. Well, I have a couple that I pretty much use a lot in my classes. And I'm saying this as, okay, for a coffee drinker, I definitely am a Starbucks girl. So, but okay. I feel Dunkin' has done a really good job with their branding in terms of not only from a social media content standpoint, but really translating that to offline. Yeah. Like they have done things that have kind of captured sales, you know, for their various swag items or drinks, etc. I feel like they've done a really good job. I also like the brand Liquid Death, the water company.
Yeah.
I feel that they're very edgy.
I was drinking some yesterday. So there
well,
you
they
go.
See great minds think alike, sir. Yeah. So but yeah, I and then the other brand that I really like too is Sweet Green, the salad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Green Company. They recently hired the social media manager from Auntie Anne's and Jamba Juice to head up their social, and they've just been skyrocketing.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't be me, sir, if I couldn't give a shout out to Ryan Reynolds, the actor, who has a fantastic team at Maximum Effort, who really does some incredible work for his movies, but also American Aviation Gin and a few others. Like, I feel that he, from a brand marketing standpoint, he's definitely doing a masterclass in social media.
Yeah. So what makes those folks good though, Karen? Like, what, if you're going to boil it down, like why do they stand out?
I feel that they understand their culture.
Yeah.
And they understand their audience in a way that they understand how they're competing with so much noise. And it's not just noise mm-hmm. from other platforms and other accounts on social media, but it's our work, it's our social lives, it's Netflix, it's all these other things going in our lives. And so they understand that in order to capture attention, we have to be more creative, but we have to be relevant in a way that makes it entertaining, that motivates them to share from point A to point B. And one person that I would also recommend following related to this, he's done some incredible work with subcultures and Gen Z on social media. He works at Blue Hour Media in Philadelphia. His name is Matt Higgins, and he's done some fascinating work, and he was able to do some work, like, specifically with, like, Google and a few others. I think it's important to look at kind of how they tap into those different markets and personalize the content across the board.
Yeah, we're trying to do some of that, right, with our different audiences, even in just the Army. We have that social media team that's doing, our things for the Adjutant General sites, but really using the different platforms to target different audiences and put the content in a way that is more consumable to, you know, with that expected audience on those platforms. That might seem pretty straightforward to you, you know, being an expert, but, you know, for us, it's been a little bit of a learning journey as we've gotten into it. And you know, our team is certainly unique for the Army. There's not a lot of organizations that have, a dedicated social team that like we do and how we're trying to, ultimately we're trying to connect to the soldiers and families to highlight how we can take care of them, kind of a thing.
And you guys are doing a fantastic job with that. It's been really fun to be able to kind of see the connections and the stories. And again, making those connections using social media to kind of be able to bring forth those experiences and messaging and really being authentic and transparent with those communication efforts. So that's really wonderful to see.
Yeah. And trying to meet people where they're at, right? I know that's, I get asked a lot, like, why are you guys doing so much on social media? And I'm like, well, I'm trying to meet, soldiers kind of where they're at.
Right.
So.
And with students too, I mean, they kind of fit, there's some overlap between potentially soldiers, and their age, especially the younger generation coming into the Army, to students. And I can tell you, sir, that being able to relate to the students, like, who are in that generation, like, that you not only meet them where they're at, but you understand where they're coming from, and you're not saying, oh, you're a Gen Z, I'm going to put you down because I'm in a different generation, whatever, but, like, coming in as a partner and a, basically person that's basically wanting to kind of invite them as part of the dinner table or party in social media, basically, to make them feel welcome, that effort takes such a level of impact, towards mm-hmm. the student, like the students or the Army officer, that they feel like, wow, I feel welcome, I feel appreciated, I feel valued. And just that, those small efforts can transform a relationship and overall experience.
Yeah. No,
so
I think that's kind of deep, for us to think about, right? You know, I haven't necessarily tried to explain to senior leaders that aspect of, hey, if you're connecting in a way that resonates, then hey, that's also a draw to maybe stay and serve. Mm-hmm. Because the institution of the Army is, you know, willing to, you know, I'm putting it in air quotes here, bend a little bit, you know, to facilitate a younger generation and, mm-hmm. and their service. I know, I think that's a great point that you just made.
Yeah.
So what's up next for you?
Oh, well, lots of different projects related to the Birds Nest. We're finishing at the end of the semester, so we have several events, including the Kentucky Derby that we'll be helping out with. And then the summer is going to be basically the time where I get to work on projects and research, but also do a few conferences before the start of the new semester in academic year. So it's an never-ending cycle, but it allows me to keep busy and be able to work with some great partners, great students and colleagues. So I probably will also be frequently, you know, many coffee shops, obviously for meetups, and also to the dog park to make sure that my Australian Shepherd puppy, Mando, has plenty of opportunities to exercise and get his energy out, because he is a very energetic puppy.
Yeah, that's awesome. And, you know, Kentucky Derby right around the corner. I know, you know, lots of folks here at Fort Knox will be partaking in all that has to offer all
yes.
of us. But hey, so awesome. I just really appreciate you jumping on today with us. To talk a little bit, but I'll give you a parting shot here before we break another great edition of Tag Talks.
Thank you.
All right, thanks.